Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Denise L. Wilkins.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Ray. Wow, finally we get to talk. Yay!
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know where to start. First, let me just say thank you so much for taking the time out of your life. And I know you're going to be busy to come and do this interview. I really do appreciate it.
Well, listen to me. You know, from the moment that I met you, I told you you would never be rid of me. And I've made good on that promise. I am very honored that you asked me to be on your show, the Humble Life Experience podcast. And, hey, we said we were going to make it happen, and here we are, okay?
Yes,
we're going to have a good time.
Yes. Oh, man. So, wow. I'm sure you did so many interviews in your life. You know, so I want this to be something kind of different. We all know who you are. We all know where you've been. We all know all your accomplishments. I want to ask you, what is it that keeps that fire in you that has you still going to this day?
Wow. Well, let's start out with the fact that I grew up in a household where me and my sisters, actually, let me not forget my sisters, Dolores and Bonnie, we all grew up in a household where there was a rich musical experience all the time. My dad loved music. My mom and dad actually had great singing voices. And so that's kind of how we were introduced to, you know, music. We were a musical household. And then when we got into school, we pursued being involved with chorus. And our high school was very FDR High School in Brooklyn. They had a great musical program as well. So we used to do talent shows and all of that kind of stuff, which gave us opportunities, you know, to be heard and seen before an audience. So when you think about, for us, the musical influences of the great, you know, groups of the 60s and the 70s, that Motown era, Supremes, Temptations, you know, watching those people performing kind of set a little bit of a blaze in us to want to pursue music as a career. And a little known fact, we had an opportunity to be signed with Motown when we were still in high school. Because my sisters and I and another young lady had a little group called the Sounds of Soul. However, my mother was like, we're not doing that. You guys have to wait until you finish school, and then after that you can do whatever you want. So we were very fortunate to finally link up with Randy Muller, Solomon Roberts, and the gentleman of the band Sky to create what we felt was very, you know, at the moment music. It started out in the disco era, of course, in 79, but we had a 13-year career, and the success of the music and the love for what we do, I would say, kept that fire going. And it's still blazing, as you can see, until this day. I mean, here it is 2023, and we're still going strong.
Yes, yes. Because when you... When I met you, you had gave me the new album. Want to speak on that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. So we had the privilege of having the re-release of our biggest album. Our biggest album was called Skyline in 1982. That album, which was on the South Soul Records label, kind of propelled us to not only national but international recognition, the group Sky. And so that album was very significant in that it was our first gold album, and of course the big hit Call Me was our first gold single. And so the South Soul Records label has changed hands in terms of ownership over the years. It was bought out by Verse Music first, and then BMG, which is a pretty big record label, has now owns the collection of many of those 70s record labels. And we get a call from a young man who was on the marketing team at BMG who informed us that they were going to be re-releasing some of the what they consider South Soul disco essentials. I know that may be a word people are not used to hearing, but disco, as you know, was a huge genre of music in the 70s. And so South BMG, they have a whole new young group of marketing team that started listening to, you know, some of the records in their collection, and they were like, wait a minute, we've got to re-release some of this stuff. So on January 20th of 2023, they decided to re-release our album, Skyline, and it's like a collectible on purple vinyl. And I might add that we have the distinction of joining some of the other South Soul Records artists, First Choice, Double Exposure, we're just, and Instant Funk, got my mind made up, come on, you can get it, I'm big fans of, I had to do that, you know, shameless plug for them. But yeah, so we had the privilege of having our album be the first 2023 re-release of our Skyline LP. And it's really, people are very, very excited about receiving it because, again, it sort of put us on the map both locally and internationally.
Wow. So I still have it. Like, I was not, my daughter, she was so happy. She's like, oh my God, we met at Celebrity. Yo, they were so happy to meet you. I swear.
Oh, let me tell you something. It was just a joy to see you there with your children. And, you know, this is a family affair. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I've had the opportunity also to read your book and am very, very now fortunate for myself to have met you and to know you because you are a person of many accomplishments and you have not let your health challenges hold you down. And I think that's a message for all of us and that all of us can, you know, use in our lives. You know, our career had many ups and downs, and anybody who is doing what they love is going to take whatever effort that they need in order to continue on in the path that you know, seems to be designed for us. So, yeah, you after reading that, I was further inspired and further enamored of you and your accomplishments and all that wonderful video that you did to advertise me being on this show. I was just so, so happy. So this is a moment that I've been very much looking forward to. And I just want to say to, you know, your listeners that I feel very privileged to still be able to carry on my career after almost 40 years. It's a blessing. It's a total blessing.
Yes. All right, how about this? Let's give you a break, and let's go into one of your songs, and then we'll come back and go to the phone lines. How about that?
Sounds like a good plan. I'm here for it.
All right, so which song do you want to get into right now?
You have Here's to You?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's do Here's to You.
All right, here you go. Yeah, I know where that is. Humble Life Experience Podcast. Yeah, another number, 563-999-3718.
Right. Let's go. love it. I love it.
Yes, yes. It's you. So listen, people, we're going to go to the phone line and see who we got. We're going to go to 97894.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for joining us. Yes, ma'am. The beautiful goddess, Miss Denise, the original Sounds of Soul. I appreciate you being here. My name is Mr. O. I'm actually the host here. I'm one of the hosts on the show, and I'm so honored to have you here tonight with us. It's a blessing. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us tonight, and that means a lot. We have a lot of listeners, and it's just amazing because when I first heard your music, I remember this. God rest my mother's soul, but she was driving in her Gremlin, and you couldn't tell her nothing. About Miss Denise, and I was like that, you know. And I heard you was coming on, and I had to make sure I was here to support. And it's just an honor having you here tonight, and I appreciate that. You've done a lot for us with your music. You know, I got some things. You know, I would love to ask you as well. But the music is it's incredible, and you know, I wish I was in that era that you guys came up in, because I learned a lot from you guys. And y'all have the reason why I got the style I got today.
I love it. That is amazing. Well, thank you for that. And I'm happy for everything that you said, because the whole concept of Sky and the music of that time period is to make people feel a certain way. You know, it's feel-good music. And I'm happy to see that it has stood the test of generations of individuals. So, you know, for you to say, like, my mom listened to it, we get a lot of that when we perform. People come up to us and say, I listened to your music from a little kid because my mom played it. And the other thing I really appreciate is that it evokes memories of time periods within people's lives. So we'll have people say, oh, I was in college, you know, when I first heard your music. But all the reviews, I'm happy to say, are just such as yours. And that is that people really have good feelings and good memories. And that's what we try to bring when we do our stage performances, is to just take you right back to that pleasant time. Because, you know, we live in, like, stressful times right about now.
Yes.
The world is very different now than it was between 79 and 91, 92, you know, when our music was most popular. So, yeah, let's by all means just wrap that, put it in a bottle.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And let everybody get a little taste of it. I'm here for it.
In the 90s, you know, that was a real, you know, especially for the listeners and everybody. I mean, if you can survive in the 90s, anything 2000s on back, you know, after we got out of the 1900s, if you competed in that era and you was able to have the success that you have today, that's amazing. That's a major milestone, and I want to applaud you for that, because that's 10 albums. I mean, My joint was real low, you know. I think Mary J. owe you on that. You know, that's my joint. You know, but
you
made some amazing music, and I mean, I've been listening to it for the last 2 weeks, and that's all that's been in my playlist. And I said, wow, you know, that's amazing, the work that you have done in this industry, and being with people like Atlantic and all of them, like, that's, you know, some of our most iconic singers have came from record labels of such. And for you to be able to, again, have the success that you have today and compete in that era and be still on top of the world with it all around the world, I mean, it's an accomplishment. And I just want to personally applaud you for that.
Thank you so much.
Definitely,
you know, we just came back from France. love it. I love it. Yeah, we just came back from France. Well, because as you guys already know, we've had the privilege of reuniting the band after 30 years.
Wow.
My sisters and I picked up the legacy of the Sky Legacy after the last contract with Atlantic Records. When that contract was over, the band did not, you know, return. And we had a little bit of a hiatus, but my sisters and I decided to come up with Ladies of Sky because of the very thing you were talking about. The music just kept coming back on radio stations. And so we've had the privilege of keeping the music going, the spirit of the music going for 30 years. And just in February, we experienced the reunion of the original members of the band that are still with us. Our drummer passed away last year, and we're facing some health challenges with our lead guitarist, but Solomon Roberts Jr., Gerald LeBone, I got to mention everybody, right? Butch Sierra, Tommy McConnell is our drummer who passed away, Larry Greenberg, we're all, you know, the major players in the Sky success and the sound of Sky. That's one of the things that kind of made us unique among bands in the 80s because we were the only ones that had a five-member male, you know, band and then the trio of sisters singing. It gave us a very unique sound. So I'm just happy that we were able to, to be here for you guys to enjoy it, man, because that's where
it's
all.
Hey, I got tickets to the next show.
Well, all right, front row.
I'm getting tickets to the next show. You ain't going to tell me nothing.
Be my guest. Hey, we're constantly in the laboratory working on, you know, next steps. So believe you me, it'll be sooner than you think.
Yes, I'm ready for it. Me and Dre going to be front row.
That is correct.
My main question is I want to know, you have to explain to me, how did it feel performing a Soul Train? I mean, I grew up, like, loving Soul Train. You understand me? Oh, man.
Yes.
How did that feel?
Let me tell you. We were like kids in a candy store. First of all, remember, we grew up with Soul Train's inception. I remember when Soul Train, when they first came out, they were out of Chicago or whatever, and they had a very kind of smallish studio, and it wasn't as polished. But over the years, Soul Train became the only place that we could go on television to see popular artists.
Right.
And so I was not only enamored of being able to hear new music, but to see the artists perform. And don't forget the Soul Train dancers. You know, they are celebrities in and of themselves. So when we got the call, when Call Me was released, we got a call almost immediately after its release because, you know, it just hit the charts so quickly and so hard. And when we were going out there, I can't tell you how excited we were to be able to get on Soul Train, number one, to meet Don Cornelius, of course. We could see Don out, but it was the dancers for me, you know, to have met them. And they were just all kind of surprised that we were, we considered them as big of celebrities as we consider ourselves, you know. It's like, come on, man, we've been watching you guys all this time. So it was a deep honor to have been called by, you know, Don Cornelius to be on his show. And, again, giving us another platform to be recognized, you know, by, you know, because once you make, it's like once you go to two places, the Apollo and Soul Train, you've made it. You know what I mean? You're considered A-listers.
Yeah. And I have a follow-up to that, Dre. Denise, I wanted to ask you, what was your biggest, most iconic tour? I know you've been all around the world, and, you know, you like, just the the most iconic tour that you would say? And I got a follow-up question to that, too. But that's something that's been on my mind.
It's a great question, and I will tell you that it is the tour that we did 13 months with Kool and the Gang. Probably
wow.
one of the most successful shows monetarily that year. And we were the opening act for them. It was during the Call Me release. And the interesting thing, we toured all over the country with them for 13 months. The nicest group of gentlemen that you ever want to meet, because sometimes, you know, not everybody is as nice as they appear to be on TV, but those guys were amazing. We had the best and smoothest tour, I think, of any tour during that time period. Because what, you know, I'm going to just give you a little aside. What people don't realize is what it takes to travel from city to city with all of that equipment, all of those people. So it's not just the bands, but it's transporting the instruments, sound companies, light companies, you know what I mean? So we traveled with the same sound and light company throughout the entire tour. And it was, to me, the most iconic tour that we ever did. It was also a time, by the time we went halfway, well, we went across the country, all the way out to California and back, and it culminated at Radio City Music Hall, which is a major venue in New York to play, as you
yes.
guys know. And it was at that show that our song, Call Me, went number one. And actually knocked out Kool and the Gang. What a Kool and the Gang song.
Ooh.
From the number one spot. And there was no hate, you know what I mean? Because, come on, Kool and the Gang. It's Kool and the Gang, for heaven's sake. But
yeah.
It was just such an honor for us to really come of age in the industry, you know, per se. But best tour ever. Kool and the Gang,
yes.
Die.
Beautiful. So on that note, you know, we all talk about the great times, the best times, and I want to know what was one of the roughest eras, or should say, times you guys had, you know, especially in that time era. Obviously, it was a lot of competition, and what would you
yeah.
say was one of the hardest times of your career?
Well, the hardest, probably because it was the most uncertain. Like, once our record deal ended with South Soul, we had been with them for like 5 years, you know. We had released our first
mm-hmm.
five albums on South Soul, and you tend to get very comfortable, you know. It's like home. It's like being home. You know what to expect. And when we were the last artists to be signed to the South Soul label. So it was Lolita Holloway. Some of the most iconic disco acts were on that label. Lolita Holloway, Joe Batan, First Choice, Instant Funk, as I mentioned earlier. The guys that sang Working Up a Sweat. You know, all of these people preceded us on the label, but their contracts solely were not renewed as their contracts came, you know, became due. And then we were last in. We were the last to sign, so we were the last out. So it was a little bit uncertain for us when we lost that deal and were wound up at Capitol Records. And as you know from our bio, we only did one album for them. So that's when things kind of slowed down for us. And so coming off of that beautiful and amazing music high from the Skyline and the Call Me era was, I would say, probably the lowest point for us, because we just didn't know what was going to happen next. Where we end, again, now music genres are starting to change because slowly hip-hop was starting to come into play, as well as that 90s sound, you know, sound change. So we found
yes.
that we had to make some adjustments in our music in order to be able to be current with the music
okay.
of the time.
So as you
we were able to bounce back.
As you say that, there's a song, Tony, that came out of all.
That's my jam. Yes,
the,
it is.
Hold on one second. From all the struggle that you just spoke about, it was around the Tony stage, right? So that beautiful song.
Well, actually, Call Me was the pinnacle. Call Me was actually during when everything was going great. You know what I mean? That was that was the fourth album. You know, a lot of people thought we had just came out, but that was really the fourth album on Salso. And then we recorded one more after that, and then that record deal passed, you know, passed off of the scene. So Call Me was like the pinnacle of our career. And right after Call Me, again, enjoying an almost two-year run, you know what I mean, with that song alone. Mm-hmm. That's when, right after that is when things started to take a turn because we had, you know, had our record deal was over with. And so we had to like kind of figure out what was next. And that was just the quietest time. It took us about 2 years, to recover. And finally the Capitol, record deal was not that lucrative, was not, you know, they really only did not promote us as much as we had been promoted or were used to being promoted at South Soul. And so it was a very uncertain time period for us. But then when we were able to recover once we went over to Atlantic Records and started out with the Start of a Romance LP. And that just brought us back to life, you know what I mean? So
So how did the the song of Black Street featuring Jay-Z, Call Me, how did that come about?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I found out about that as well as many other of our songs that have been sampled. You know, I sort of wasn't paying as much attention to that, the hip-hop genre of music to understand that this, and really this was driven by new technology. You know what I mean? New technology is what really helped hip hop move to the forefront, in addition, of course, to the various artists. But for them to now take music that we created and turn it into something else, you know, it took me a little time to kind of get that figured out. And understand the value of that. You know what I mean? I'm happy for it, man. When I hear people taking our stuff, and as long as they've kept it clean. Now, some people have kind of turned it someplace else, and, you know, I don't necessarily support that because I know young people are always listening. So, but, yeah, man, I'm very happy that, you know, that's, what do they say? Imitation is the best form of flattery. So if they're using our music to recreate something for themselves, I'm here for it. Absolutely.
Definitely. So look, how about we just jump into the original Call Me?
Well, all right. I love it. Let's go. Here's my number in the dime. You can call me anytime.
Randomly number here. 563-999-3718. You want to talk if you're on the line. You want to have a question, talk to a friend. Press that number one, and I'll get you live.
place I like to go to.
You're live on the Hunger Rush Experience podcast. Who's this?
Hello?
What's up?
Brother Miles.
What's up, Miles?
All right. Good evening. Good evening. How are we doing?
You're live with the Queen.
I just want to say congratulations to the Sky. How y'all doing?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I used to have a crush on you back in the day.
Oh, well, that's nice to know, because mostly everybody had crushes on my sister Dolores, so.
You know, when I used to DJ back then, and I used to play y'all music because my mom owned a bar, and we used to have a big yard in the back, and she used to give our parties back there. And every time every time I play that song, when you say call me, they be talking about, yeah, what's the number? Give me a number. All that stuff. And you could tell how old that song is when you say, here's my number and a dime, because, you know, back then, it cost a dime to use the phone. Right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and, I mean, without y'all music sampling, this music today wouldn't be anything. And the great thing about your music back then was everybody used live instruments.
Yes.
None of that technology stuff they got now, because you don't see that talent like you did back then.
Yeah, I love that. I love that comment in particular, because what a lot of people don't realize is because everything was analog, it was the analog era of music recording, right? So you're right. Live instrumentation, there was no sampling. You know what I mean? We didn't start doing even, I think we have a little bit of sampling on some of the later stuff. But, yeah, and we had to sing every single one of those background vocals. So with every Here's to You that you hear, every Let's Celebrate, you know what I mean, was its own entity, you know. But we were fortunate because we learned to sing properly. We learned how to utilize our voices. And like you said, there's nothing like live music. You know what I mean? Musicianship is the key. And it's the kind of thing that disappoints me a bit because music programs have been the first thing to be lost in the schools. I'm a big advocate for young people, you know, being able to be involved in learning musical instruments and honing their vocal talents so that they can do similar work, you know, be creatives. So I'm hoping that, you know, we get back around to that. But thank you for that. You really I like the idea of you all saying, how much? Give me the number. That's so cute.
my niece is 12. And she played bass. She played drum.
Nice.
She played drum and a bass. And I remember when I saw y'all on Soul Train, boy, we ran to the TV when Soul Train came out. And we seen y'all on there. We were like, uh-oh, check them out. They made Soul Train. You know, you make Soul Train, that means you're doing good.
That's right.
And those Soul Train dancers. And nobody, boy, you missed the Soul Train dancing, girl. Something wrong with you.
that is for sure. You know, and actually we were on Soul Train twice because we were on for the Call Me, you know, and then we went back when Start of a Romance came out in the 90s. So, you know, for us, that's quite an accomplishment to have actually been able to be on that show two times. Is really, a sense of accomplishment for us because we were able to span both decades, the 80s and the 90s. So, thank you for that. Thank you so much.
Today, see, I'm 65, so I know that music. So.
Oh, you're right in the sweet spot. You're in the sweet spot. Look, you were really there every step of the way with us. I really appreciate that.
I listen to that music because it reminds me of that time. Compared to the music now, it just don't seem right. The music now, you know, when you see him on TV or you see one guy in the back with a turntable, where the rest of the crew at? No guitar, no drums, no organ, none of that. And it's sad that we don't show that talent anymore.
Well, here's the thing, and this is just my opinion on that. What we tend to see is what is placed before us by terrestrial radio. So I know here in New York, you know, they play pretty much the same people over and over and over again, and they've split us into different genres. So you have all the hip-hop on a station. You have the classic contemporary R&B on a station. And because now we live in a world where there are a lot of people who are just basically independent artists putting their stuff out here on the platforms, because people like you and I are not as in tune with the streaming platforms, you know? But I have had the privilege because I've had a thirst for just listening to music for the purpose of enjoyment. You know, aside from just doing my own music, lately I've reverted back to wanting to sit down and just listen to music just to kind of, you know, change your mood. You know what I mean? And I've actually found some pretty good stuff, in particular on Spotify. I think it's called Soul Tracks. Soul Tracks actually curated a particular station on Spotify that has some of the best music that I've heard in a really long time. And to your point, it gives me hope for the future.
Now, you know,
I mean, of black music.
When I used to DJ that song, I used to pick with the women in the crowd, right? Because I used to tell them, I said, you heard what she said. If your girl ain't there, call me. You know, and I heard a guy, and what's the guy? that guy in the band who called in? What was his name?
The leader of the band.
Yeah, the one who when the phone rung, he was calling.
Yeah, that's Solomon. Yeah, that's Solomon. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Solomon Roberts. Yeah.
We've been cracking up on that song. I said, hey ladies, you heard it. You ain't gonna do the man right.
Yeah, hello. How you doing? He's gone, and I figured I'd give you a call to see if you were serious.
Hey, walk around with a pocket full of dimes.
That's right.
Well, listen,
that's right.
Listen, man. Well, thank you for calling in. Stay on hold. We'll be right back with you a little bit later. We got one more phone, another caller. Let's see who we got real quick.
Mic check. Can you hear me?
Mic check. How you doing?
All right, brother Dre. You know, boy, you. I don't know what to say, Dre. You know, outdone yourself tonight, having this wonderful lady on from the sky. Call me. I mean, come on. We all know that. And I'm right up there with brother. I'm 66 years of age, my dear sister. And I go back, with a lot of stuff, you know, with the soul groups and, you know, when we were younger,
yes.
My uncle used to always sing the doo-wop. And on my network, we had, I just had brother Cliff Perkins from Soul Generation on not too long ago.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, please. May I interject a really funny story about Cliff, if you don't mind?
Sure.
I met Cliff Perkins and did not realize who he was at a National R&B Music Society event. Shout out to Vanessa Gaston and Stuart Bascom of Black Ivory, who run the organization. And Vaughn Harper, who, as you guys know, was the creator of the Quiet Storm format, introduced me to this guy, Cliff Perkins, at the event. And I was like, how are you? I was so enamored of just meeting all of these old school artists that I grew up with. Now think about this. Those guys were the people I listened to as a teenager and was very, very, you know, like giddy because I had crushes on them. And so I sat down and Cliff Perkins gets up. Like I said, I didn't really know who he was and started singing If I Had $1 Million. And I freaked out like a 14-year-old girl because I did not realize that he was the guy that sang that song. And that was like my first, you know, swooning song when I was like 15 years old, right? And
right. So
from then on, I have been a hard and fast fan and friend of Cliff Perkins. And it's just amazing that you should bring him up in this particular conversation.
Well, yeah, because what happened was there was a group. I did a lot of promotion, and it was a gentleman by the name of Vanda Esquire over in Jersey City, New Jersey. I'm in Newark, New Jersey, by the way. And what happened was I met Cliff indirectly through Vander, you know. And also over here in Newark, we have a Weekway Park. And any given day, you'll see Ted Mills from Blue Magic walking the track.
That is correct. I live in Newark. So, yeah, we're closer than we think. We got to make sure we figure out how to hook up, you know,
some
point.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. Well, I know Dre personally, so I'll reach out to Dre.
Well, cool.
And Brother
Dre, feel free to share our contact information with this brother who happens to be calling me probably from up the block, okay? I love it.
Yeah, you never know. I'm right here on Tracy.
You never know.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question on and this gets back to Frankie Lyman when he had Why Do Fools Fall in Love. From a business aspect, sis, when I have Sirius XM, and they play your record quite a bit on the Groove Channel, which is number 50, and also Studio 54, which is the 54 channel. All right. Are you ladies still getting what is due you, what they call the residuals?
Yes, my dear. It's funny you should say that. Any residuals that are due you from airplay come through an organization, and this is for the listeners. What I try to stress to young people is that this is not just music, it's the music business.
business, right.
And so you have to make sure that your music and material is copyrighted. Own your publishing. It's one of the mistakes that I made coming up because I was like an artist. You know what I mean? I wasn't
yes.
so much on the business side. I enjoyed singing. I loved singing, and that is the thing that I wanted to do. But you'll be happy to know, oddly, that I just checked Sound Exchange today, and you are correct. We are not only being played on Sirius, but there are a couple of other, you know, internet radio stations that play us. And yes, those royalties are captured by Sound Exchange, which is a royalty collection agency. So I'm getting my money, dear. Thank you so much.
Good, good. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. Dre, thank you for having this wonderful lady on. Sis, I'll be reaching out to you because we share. A Blog Talk is where I started my platform, and now I have my own network. And I've given Brother Dre a guest. Now I can have me a little wonderful guest, too. So, Dre, I'll be reaching out to you, sister. Peace and blessings, and good luck. And let that money keep rolling in because they still play Call Me quite a bit, especially, like I said, on
yes.
Sirius XM. So you take care.
Yes.
And like I said, you never
thank
know
you
tomorrow
for that.
You go to.
Really a pleasure talking with you.
Yes, you take care now. Thank you, Dre. Appreciate you.
Two, two, four, one. You live?
Oh, hello. How you doing? How you doing? I just wanted to say, well, first and foremost, I just want to say, well, I'm, like everybody else, I'm honored too to be speaking to you. I'm 59 years old, so Call Me and Celebrate and all that was, I remember those well. And I don't know if anybody else asked any questions, but I always had a I always like to hear the stories of what somebody was doing it the first time they heard their record on the radio. Do you remember where you was at and what you was doing the first time your song played on the radio?
Yes, I do. I was in my my red and black 1973 Chevy Impala driving down Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Listening to WBLS radio station, and Here's to You came on the radio. And I just literally pulled the car over and was saying to people, that's me, that's me. And they're like, yeah, right, lady. Excuse me, you must have lost your mind. That can't possibly be you. Because like most people, they don't assume that we're regular people. You know what I mean? Everyone thinks we're
right.
sort of unavailable and unreachable and unattainable. But, yeah, that was the first time that I heard us on the radio. Here's to you. And man, it was the biggest thrill because you really get a sense of accomplishment. You know what I mean? And you know that you're being heard by the masses. And that's, of course, what drives your song up the charts and gets you record sales and, you know, and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I was tooling around in my little Impala, and I pulled over, and I could not have been happier. I'll tell you what.
Okay, well. I like hearing them stories. But keep doing what you're doing. Your music has been it has been great from back then and still to now. You can listen to your music from back then, and I get the same feeling that I got back then that I get now. And it just was an honor talking to you. And keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. The honor was all mine. I love nothing more than connecting with people who appreciate what we do. And I really thank you because it's your interest in what we do that keeps us going. You know, we wouldn't be able to have the longevity that we have if there still wasn't an interest in what we do. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Oh, man.
That was
all
nice.
The love tonight. All the love. All the love, all the love. Definitely. Thank
yes.
you, thank you, Jim. So, I'm going to get into one more song, and then, and then see, and I'll let you know, I'll let you go, I know it's been a long day, and you gave me enough time, and I deeply appreciate you, and, you know, God bless you, and everything, for real, from my heart,
thank
on behalf
you.
Of my
thank
show,
you.
And all the other shows.
Thank you so much, Dre, for having me. I really, really appreciate you. And, you know, we'll be connecting certainly beyond this moment. But to all of your listeners, I just want to say how much we really appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. And the best is yet to come. Now that the band has been reunited and we sound good, okay? So we'll keep you posted through Dre and Mr. O. On what we're doing, and we look forward to seeing all of you at our next concert.
Let's go.
know I'm hooked on your love. I'm hooked on your music. Boy, I'm hooked on you.
I'm over here grooving so hard I had to sit down and ice my ankle.
Man,
thank heaven for the ice on hand, baby. That's all I
got to
say.
Definitely. All right, so if you go to Rocky Jays, anybody, the contact information for me to get in touch with Scott.
Oh, I'd be happy to share that. So we're on all social media platforms. So Facebook, it's Ladies of Sky. That's LADIES of Sky. We've just posted on YouTube exclusive for the Humble Experience listeners live in Paris. There's a 16-minute clip on our YouTube page. It is called Ladies of Sky. Go on there and be the first to watch the band, the reunion of Sky in Paris. On Insta, the official Ladies of Sky. Twitter, at SKYYOF. And, of course, we have our website, ladiesofsky.com. And we will be updating and creating a Sky page for all the Sky fans who want to reach out to the guys in the band as well as to us and the ladies. And, of course, Dre, you know you can always reach out to us through Mr. Austin Kwame Wilkinson, my husband, AKW Enterprises, who is our manager. For any information, you can reach out to Austin Kwame Wilkinson at 347-645-1061. But, yeah, that's be in touch. Reach out to us. We do answer every single, you know, communication that we get. We personally answer on our social media. So looking forward to hearing from everyone. Even if you're a fan of Sky, fan of Ladies of Sky, or if you just want, you know, some advice and direction on being in this industry, we'd be happy to reach out to you, okay?
Wow. Wow. That was a treat. As I said before, this is my pleasure. It's an honor. to have you on my show, to be here. I appreciate you so much. So, like I said, anytime you want to come back to the show, we're here. It's your platform as well. Anytime.
Well, thank you, my darling. I appreciate you both and wishing you well. And, again, you know, anything I can do, you just let me know and reach out. And to all the fans and the listeners, thank you once again for supporting Sky and the Ladies of Sky.
Well, Ladies of Sky, there you go.
Yes.
Wow.
Let's get rid of these. Let's pass the mic back to Sky and get rid of these auto tunes, man. Because I'm tired of hearing that.
For real, man. Man, this is a great show. It's a great show.
Well,
man.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful.
First and foremost, I want to thank Jay Shaw for the platform to make the show possible. I want to thank Sky for being Sky, to actually giving me that opportunity to debut, like just the opportunity to have them in my presence. You know what I'm saying? It's an honor. You know, I want to thank Austin for calling me and kicking me out of point. And I mean, this is everything right. From the flyers, from the videos. Man, I love y'all, man. Until next week. I can't tell you I had a better show for y'all next week. I used to say that, but I don't know about that. But let's see what happens.
Yeah, man.
Correct.
Yeah, we made. Hey, you made history, Jack.
Right, man. But until next week, man, y'all stay blessed. I love y'all. We out of here.